Our lesson this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5. The sermon will be focusing on verses 15 through 17. But let us begin reading from verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. This is the word of God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin, indeed, was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Now verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for giving to us your word, Father. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path to lead us to Christ. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts, Father, and in our midst as we study your word, so that we might see Jesus. And Father, we pray as well that you would strengthen us in our faith, even now, so that we might go forth to serve you as your gospel witnesses. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. It's an exciting moment for parents and grandparents when the growing baby begins to make noises. Might call it talk. Everyone's trying to anticipate what the baby's first words will be. Will it be mama? Will it be daddy? Will it be yaya or papa? Will it be the dog's name? Well, what if, and this is speculation, what if the baby had been hearing Romans read to them while they're in the womb? Would their first word be justification? That would be a surprise. Propitiation. Righteousness. Would their first word be grace? To understand Romans, we must understand grace. You know, on the back of the Romans outline, I think there's still a few available there on the back table as well. We have the new devotionals for July and August there. But there on the back of the Romans outline, there are a number of quotes, and hard to pare them down. But one of the quotes is by Professor Leland Ryken, taught at Wheaton College. He writes this about Romans: "The best motivation for a life of fruitful service to God is a deep grasp of God's grace in the gospel." He goes on, "Nowhere is this grace more clearly explained or triumphantly celebrated than in the book of Romans. So as we read this glorious book of Romans, one of the first words out of the mouth of God's children, and that's us, that should be that great gospel word, grace. It's a word we use frequently, but it's vital that we understand what grace means. Dr. Jim Boyce gave this short, simple definition of grace: God's favor to the undeserving. Let me be so bold as to expand on Dr. Boyce's definition. God's sovereign and saving favor shown towards undeserving sinners in Christ. You know, this morning you'll be hearing that word grace used frequently. It's used at least five times in the passage before us, these three verses, Romans 5, 12 through 17. A challenge for the children, the young people, or for adults here. And I haven't taken tally yet, but count how many times that word grace is used in this morning's message. Already five times. What should we remember? What would Scripture teach us about God's grace here? From Romans 5, verse 15 and following, that God's abounding grace gives undeserving sinners salvation security in Christ. Well, how can God's abounding grace give us as undeserving sinners that salvation security? At least three truths here about grace. This is not an exhaustive sermon about grace, but a sampler. We'll see first God's rich grace in verse 15, and then God's righteous grace, verse 16, and finally, God's reign of grace in verse 17. We begin there with God's grace, God's rich grace for many sinners. If we look at these verses in context, beginning back with Romans chapter 5, verse 12, remember that there are parallels between Adam and Christ. You know, Adam as our federal head sinned, and we sinned in Adam. We're born to sin, we choose to sin. But then Christ is our federal head. Christ, the righteous one, died for us, the unrighteous ones. And so there are parallels here. Now in verse 15, the Apostle Paul begins to contrast Adam and Christ. We'll see a pervasiveness of sin, but the greater power of God's grace in Christ. Look at that first contrast. Here again, Romans 5, verse 15. But the free gift, that's the word grace, but the free gift is not like the trespass. Consider first that word trespass. Trespass is an unholy offense against God. A disobedient detour from God's path, holy path of truth and righteousness. We see that same word trespass used in Ephesians. Hear this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And then ahead to verse 5 of Ephesians 2, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You know, so there we see that idea of trespass, but as well we see that word, and it's a single word originally, free gift. God's grace to us in Christ. As Dr. Boyce defined it, God's favor toward the undeserving. You know, our God lovingly rescues us from the death grip of sin, safely carries us home to glory. You know, God's grace is greater than any sin. You know, keep that in mind in this day and age. We tend to think, well, sin is overwhelming, crushing, domineering. No, it's not. You know, God's grace is greater than any sin. God's rich redeeming and rescuing grace is greater than any sin in your heart, my heart, in our homes, in our churches, in our country. That's not to diminish sin. You know, we've read about, we've been studying that ruin of Adam's sin, total depravity. And sin infects every part of our world. But never forget God's rich grace to us in Christ. You know, Christ's rich grace, or God, Christ's redeeming grace. Still in verse 15, for if many died through the one man's trespass, that's Adam, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You know, it's true that in Adam's fall, we sinned all. It's true that in God's sovereignty, that sin of one man brought death to many. You know, many, Scripture's way of saying, it brought death to all of Adam's physical descendants. One man was the source of sin, condemnation, and death. You know, think about death. It's not just the pain of physical death, but the more extreme and eternal pain of spiritual death and separation from God. But then again, here, verse 15, that glorious phrase, much more. You know, there you can see the contrast. Yes, sin is strong. The sin of Adam brought ruin, destruction, and death. But much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You know, the grace of God. You know, an interesting expression. So often we tend to put the word grace and Christ together, but it's the grace of God. I'll give you an example. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. There are others, but Hebrews 2, verse 9. Speaking of Christ, but we see him, that's Christ, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You know, grace that richly flows from our triune God, and it flows to us. You know, and then that word, that free gift, you know, reminding us that we can't buy forgiveness. You know, we can't work hard enough to merit God's salvation. You know, where can we find help and hope? It's in Christ alone. You know, but Christ, John Calvin put it this way, Christ is much more powerful to save than Adam was to ruin. You know, hear that again. Christ was much more powerful to save than Adam was to ruin. You know, that redeeming grace that comes through the one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, is far greater than the ruin of sin that fell on us in Adam. Again, a quote from a scriptural scholar, Matthew Henry, but he always put it simply. He writes, "The communication of grace and love by Christ goes beyond the communication of guilt and sin by Adam." You know, God's grace in Christ. I know many of you have memorized Ephesians 2, 8, 9, but hear them again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, God's grace abounded for many. You know, I love that word abounded. You know, God's grace didn't come to us in a medicine dropper. You know, it didn't come to us, you know, in a little coffee spoon. You know, God's grace abounded. You know, think of the bottomless well of God's grace, a never-failing fountain, an ever-flowing stream. You know, think, if you need another picture, think of all the water that flowed from the rock in the wilderness. You remember back there in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, the Lord speaking to Moses, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. If you look at the next account in Numbers, it says not only the people of Israel drank, but all their creatures. You know, for those of you who like math, maybe you can figure out how much water it would take to satisfy the thirst of all of God's people, all the creatures, camels, I'm sure, included. You know, that's the way God's grace is. It's abounding grace. The grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You know, what do we learn here? R.C. Sproul put it this way: although there is a parallel, Jesus and Adam were not equals. What Adam did was destructive, but what Jesus does is redemptive. You know, that word grace, you know, it's my prayer that we as Christians, we as the church, might recapture that scriptural understanding of that word grace. You know, it's a word that we take for granted, or we take lightly. You know, think of it this way. C.S. Lewis, some of you have read C.S. Lewis, a great Christian writer, lived 1898 to 1963, actually died the same day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. But he had a phrase. He called it chronological snobbery. I know that's a mouthful, but this is the way he defined that. The uncritical acceptance of the intellectual climate common to our own age and the assumption that whatever has gone out of date is that, on that account, discredited. Try to put it in my old words, we tend to think new is better. You know, we love to use those current terms. We don't want to be outdated, out of sync with the world. And we don't like history. We can see evidence of that. A sermon for another time. And as Christians, it's tempting for us to latch on to the latest words, you know, the world is using, that even the church uses. You know, words like woke. You know, we need to be woke Christians. I'm still trying to figure out what that means. You know, but let's go back to Scripture. You know, it's vital for us to have an understanding, a clear understanding of biblical words. Words like grace, to learn what it means, to love that word grace, to live by grace. You know, Jesus, God's undeserving, God's favor to the undeserving. First truth there, God's rich grace for many, but then God's righteous grace, verse 16, for miserable sinners, lest you think we'll be here till next Sunday. The second point is short. Third truth, third point, again, a little bit longer. Had a homiletics professor, Dr. William Hogan, great man of God, great preacher. He said in a three-point sermon, make sure your first point is short. If you have a long point, that ought to be the second point. And then keep the third point short. Well, I'm breaking all the rules he taught us. First one was long, second one short. A third one's a little bit longer. But again, a contrast here. God's righteous grace. Here again, verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. That contrast is clear. The free gift is not like that one man's, Adam's, sin. We've heard about Adam's sin. You can read about it there in Genesis chapter 2. God told Adam, command was given first Adam, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on that day you shall die. And both Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They both died and suffered God's righteous judgment. Read again, Genesis 3, just to give you a sampling. They were both cast out of the garden. Eve suffered pain in childbirth. Adam condemned to working by the sweat of his brow, weeds, thorns. That one trespass brought condemnation is what we read there in verse 16. John Murray said, condemnation is the opposite of justification. We've been declared guilty. And not only was Adam declared guilty, but in Adam, we too are declared guilty, justly sentenced to death. But still in verse 16, but the free gift, grace, following many trespasses, brought justification. Many trespasses. Adam's one sin by one man, but many trespasses. I believe that includes all of our trespasses. Thank the Lord that He graciously chose not to include the total number of our sins. Again, if you like figures, consider this. If you want to be overwhelmed, consider how many times you sin in one day. Then do the math. How many times do you sin in a week, in a year, in a lifetime? Big figure for all of us. Many trespasses. I believe even saying many, the Lord is gracious to us there. But in this precious passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul focuses our attention on the free gift, the grace and justification. That's the other word you hear used frequently in Romans. We ought to be familiar with that as well. Just to refresh our memories, justification, God graciously declares us, His chosen children, to be righteous only because of the righteousness of Christ that is credited to our account. It's an act of God's free grace, a once and for all act of God's gracious love for us in Christ. Charles Hodge put it this way about verse 16. The point of the verse is that the sentence of condemnation, which passed on all men for the sake of Adam, was for one offense, whereas we are justified by Christ for many offenses. God's gracious gift of Christ's righteousness greatly exceeds our great and grave sinfulness. We can know salvation comfort even here and now in Christ. God's righteous grace for miserable sinners. consider this. You know, if you're still desiring, and I pray you are, pray that I am desirous of learning what grace means, encourage you to go to the Trinity Hymnal. That's the hymnal we use, or you can use websites like hymnary.org, H-Y-M-N-A-R-Y. You know, and look up the word grace and see how frequently that word grace is used just in the titles of hymns. You know, of course, the hymn Amazing Grace. Another hymn, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. There's an old gospel hymn. Forgot it was in our Trinity hymnal, number 467, but hear the first verse. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. And then the chorus. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions. Sing it. Greater far than all my sin and shame. O magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. You know, just in that hymn, God's grace is wonderful. It's matchless. It's sufficient. You know, grace is vital to our salvation. Grace is vital to our growth in grace, to our sanctification. Grace, we need God's grace each and every day in our walk of faith with Christ. You know, God's righteous grace for miserable sinners. And verse 17, God's reign of grace for meek sinners. You know, we have seen God's rich grace, God's righteous grace, and now God's reign of grace. It's the third contrast here between Adam, sin of Adam, salvation in Christ. For if, or since, Romans 5:17, because of one man's trespass, that's Adam, death reigned through that one man, now the contrast, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, that reign of death, you know, it's important. It's essential for us as Christians to realize we all live in the shadow of death. You know, death will come to us all unless the Lord comes again while we're still here. And here, Scripture plainly, purposefully reminds us that, you know, the reign of death. You know, we live in a world of death. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way, the world is a place of cemeteries. But there's a reign of grace. Much more will those who have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, we've received it. God has graciously given us this gift. We who are undeserving, and four quick fruits here, just in the last portion. You know, as we consider God's reign of grace, again, the abundance of grace. Those who receive the abundance of grace, God's abounding grace. Lest we ever doubt, well, you know, God's grace is not sufficient. You know, there's none left for me. Scripture comforts us, reassures us, strengthens us. That abundance of God's grace, that ocean of God's grace, it will never go dry. You know, if we were to think of God's grace tank had a fuel gauge on it, it will never go empty. In fact, it will always be full. The abundance of God's grace, the free gift of righteousness. Secondly, the unearned righteousness of Christ, freely given to God's children. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He, Christ himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You know, and I say this carefully, but I believe it's true according to Scripture. You know, when you and I am trusting in Christ, you know, we're closer to God than Adam and Eve ever were. They were innocent. They were without sin. But when God looks at us, you know, he sees the righteousness of Christ. I believe we'll see Adam and Eve in glory, by the way. But the free gift of God's righteousness. Third, we reign in life, not reign in this life, but reign in eternal life. It's the third fruit. You know, assurance that we will reign with Christ in glory. Read through Revelation. You'll see that time and time again. And finally, through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, who was truly God, truly man, tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And here we see the superiority of Jesus Christ to Adam, his sinless humanity, his sacrificial death for our sins, his sovereign reign and glory. You know, we've sung a few hymns in today's worship service that spoke of God's grace to us in Christ. You know, here again, those final two verses of that hymn, how sweet and awesome is the place, the hymn written by Isaac Watts. I didn't realize it. Our closing hymn is by Isaac Watts as well, one of the great hymn writers in the church. But here are the last two verses of how sweet and awesome. They're in our bulletin. You know, the first one as a prayer, pity, have mercy. Pity the nations, O our God. Constrain the earth to come. Send thy victorious word abroad and bring the strangers home. And then again to that prayer of verse 6. You know, a prayer for us to share this good news of God's abounding grace to sinners. We long to see thy churches full. You know, full with men, women, children, all worshiping the Lord. We long to see thy churches full, that all the chosen race, all those who are chosen in Christ, people from every tribe, language, and nation, will be there in glory. But then may with one voice and heart and soul sing thy redeeming grace. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. That's why it's vital for us to understand grace now. To be singing of God's grace. To be speaking of God's grace. To be sharing God's grace. That's what our dying world needs now, more than ever, to know of God's gracious love for undeserving sinners. God's undeserving love that he has shown us in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you always that you have set your love upon us in Christ, we who are unworthy, undeserving, and yet you have sought us, Lord. You have bought us with the precious blood of Christ. You have adopted us into your family. All a work of your grace, Father. So, Lord God, may we rejoice in that free gift. But, Father God, we pray as well that we would not hoard this gift. Pray that you would be pleased to use us, Father, even today, even this week, to share, to speak of God's gracious love in Christ. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.